Samuel Bakayoko come and give a talk. We had about 1,000 people there. And I had like 5 or 6 baptisms that day, so I wanted to hold off on the baptisms for that day because it was really truly a high day and one we were really looking forward to. So the church was not unlike this, and we had a baptismal tank right here, and it had the glass so you could see the water. You know, it was really beautiful. And it was all full, and I show up to church a little bit early to make sure the baptismal tank was full and make sure the deacons did their duties. And we called the Sabbath school time, the congregation was completely full. The church was completely packed. Everybody was there. And we had overflow in the gymnasium. There's over 1,000 people. And we had a large video ministry at the church. And the video cameras were going because I could see the red lights were on. And the audio was on and everything was great. And I walked up, not too inconspicuously, to make sure that everything was okay with the baptismal tank. And it came right over here. And I noticed there was a little hook on the glass. And so I pulled it. And pulled the drain to the baptismal tank. And since it was fiberglass, it was resonating throughout the sound system of the church. So I ran stage left and found little Ian Kaminsky. And I said, "Ian, you want to make 20 bucks really quick?" And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "You need to get in the baptismal tank and plug it up." So he did with all his clothes on. He got in the baptismal tank and plugged it up. One of the high points of my ministry. God cares about you, dear ones. He knows you by name. The Bible tells us that every hair is numbered on our head. And we go, okay, he knows there's 85,462 hairs. But that's not what it says. It says every hair is numbered. So when I get up in the morning and I comb what little hair I have, I know hair number 10,109 and hair number 2 and hair number 34,363 was in the comb. Every hair is numbered. God loves us very, very much, more than we could understand. And as we go through this life, as we go through this earth plane, some of us don't ever get it. Sadly, some of us don't understand it. My spiritual path, my spiritual walk has taken me to and fro and hinder and yon. And for me to say that I would be in a spiritualist church speaking to spiritualists 10 years ago, I would say you're absolutely crazy. When I was about 28 years of age, I was going through a crisis in my life, a crisis of what to do with my life. I've always had a sense of God's hand on me. And I was in a particular business, and it wasn't going well. It was going well financially, but with my partners, it wasn't going well. And some other things, some trials were going on in my life, and I was at a crossroads. And I'm telling you this story so that you will understand that God will do the same for you, because God truly, truly is no respecter of persons. We're all the same in God's eyes. We're all His precious, precious children. We are His little tender babies. I was literally crying on my pillow that night about what to do, what decision to make with my life. 28 years of age. Rhonda tenderly says to me, "Honey, why don't you get up and go down in the living room and just pour your heart out to God and pray?" And I said, "I'll do that." And so I did. I took my Bible and I went down in the living room and I poured my heart and soul and mind out to God. Told Him every little sinew of the depth of my being, where I was, what I felt I wanted to do, trials and tribulations and problems, for about an hour. I was crying. And then I said, "God, being the sovereign God of this universe, You know me better than I know myself. I know You have a plan for me as you have a plan for all of Your precious children." And I said, "God, I need to know what You want me to do with my life. Could You show me?" And I said, "I'm going to do something, God, that the pastors tell me not to do. And that is to get a Bible, my Bible here, which contains Your Word, and I'm going to let it fall open. And the first thing I read, can it be Your message from me? I'm not asking this presumptuously, God. But you being the sovereign God and creator, and your, by virtue of your great love for me, could you do that? Boom, the Bible falls open, my eyes go right here. And I read this. I read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And I closed my Bible. I was dumbfounded. I said, "God, how do you do that?" And that was my calling to the ministry. And from that point forward, I never looked back. I finished my bachelor's degree in theology, and I went and got a master's, and I went and pastored back east, and I got a doctorate. And God would show Himself through ways like this at key times of my life when I needed it. I'll share with you another one. Amazing. Through a variety of circumstances, which are too complicated to get in tonight, I left the Seventh-day Adventist Church for theological reasons, not personal. Wonderful people. Wonderful, godly people. My grandmother, the dearest soul next to my wife, the closest person I have been to spiritually, was a devout Seventh-day Adventist. Lovely, lovely, God-filled, mediumistic person. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Then I left the Adventist Church, and God opened up an avenue for me to pastor with the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, and I pastored up in Whittier for a very short period of time. And that ministry didn't go well at all. It absolutely didn't go well at all. An elder and a youth pastor that I hired just 3 months before conspired together, held a board meeting at night, and lied. And they asked for my resignation. And I was completely depressed. I was beyond depressed. I was working on my doctorate at the time, and one of the classes I was taking was Overcoming Grief and Trauma. And there was 10 characteristics of people that have suffered severe trauma, and I had all 10 of them. I had all 10 of them. I wanted to die. I wanted to do myself in. I wanted to kill myself. I was so depressed. I was so discouraged. I was so discouraged that I would be physically numb. My fingers and my face would be physically numb. I was clinically discouraged and depressed. But praise God, praise the Spirit, He brought me out of that. The week that they asked for my resignation at the church, my grandmother passed away. Her passing was incredible, knowing. It was absolutely incredible. In fact, when we heard she passed, Ron and I gave each other a high five. That's how awesome it was. It was a powerful thing. And as we're standing at her deathbed with her tent just laying there, I tapped on her shoulder and she wasn't home. She was there giving a beautiful presence to the room. There was literally laughter and joy in the room. Grandma was there. Then I heard a voice in my head. Now, some of you are going to think I'm schizophrenic, but I heard a voice say to me, as clear as any voice I have ever heard, said, "Paul," remember how discouraged I was, said, "Paul, there's a Gideon Bible over on the shelf behind the curtain, and I want you to go get it and open up, and the first text you come to will be another message I have for you." And I'm going, okay. So this is happening in my mind. So I walk over there, and I pick up the Gideon Bible, and I let it flop open. Boom. And I go right here. John 15:16. It said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you." Wow! That was awesome! It was another one of those times. And it happened again tonight, dear one. I tell you something. My spiritual path has taken such twists and turns. And wonderful, wonderful, wonderful things are happening. Absolutely incredible things are happening. And I was asking Spirit tonight, I said, "Spirit, what am I going to talk about? I was a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, and I was a fundamentalist Christian. Now I'm just a spiritual person. And what do I talk to these people about?" You know, what do I talk about? So, came up, talked to Millie a little bit, and we chatted, and I went back and sat down, and it happened again, just an hour ago. Amazing. I'll share it with you. In fact, Rhonda was right there. And I opened my Bible, and here, and this is the first thing I read, and I looked at Rhonda, and I go, it's happening. It says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not remember the former things, the next verse I read. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. That was pretty good. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and you shall know it. Is that awesome or what? Is that incredible or what? How does God do that? Very simply, that's how He does it. As a result of what I have been through and the experiences of my life, I would pastor people, the church, large congregations, and wonderful people, but there would be, and don't take this the wrong way, dear ones, there would be wolves in the fold, as the Bible tells us there would be. And I came up with what I'm just calling the law of spirituality. And these are just some of my thoughts that I penciled down. And these are for me. These aren't for you, but I'm going to share them with you. These are for me to kind of quantify my experience. To kind of encapsulate it so that I can understand it. So my German logical mind could get a grasp around it. You know? And it is this. And every human being, regardless of socioeconomic status, regardless of the country of their birth or mental capacity, is an important and unique spiritual being endowed by the universal mind, which is God. I use the term God, universal mind, interchangeably. Endowed by the universal mind with a passion and purpose that equates exactly with the passion and purpose of God, because we're little God bubbles. God is within us. God isn't laws, rules, regulations, doctrines, commandments, rituals, and traditions, and history. God is a part of us. It's inside of us. They have also been given spiritual gifts that enables that passion and purpose to be put into action for the direct benefit of expanding God's kingdom here on the earth plane. Human beings, of which we can count it a privilege to be a part of, only begin to fulfill their kingdom potential when they have the infilling of the Spirit in their lives. That is, when their thoughts, habits, actions, and conscious goals are in line with the passion and purpose of the universal mind. Each one of these sentences, you could make a chapter and a book out of if you wanted. The Spirit gives the human personal power to channel God, the universal mind, for the direct benefit of meeting the spiritual and physical needs of others, expressed through random acts of kindness and selfless love. Can I tell you a little story? About 10 years ago, Ron and I were at Woolworths when it used to be down in Parkway Plaza. You guys remember that? And I've done all pretty well in my life financially. Not great. Not lousy, just kind of getting by, just kind of pretty well. And it was Christmas time. And Rhonda and I are in an aisle walking up and down. I'm following Rhonda, you know. She's doing her shopping, and I'm following along like guys are supposed to do. And I heard a mother and a daughter and a little son. The kids were probably 8, 9 years old, something like that, in the other aisle. And the mother was talking about how things weren't good this year, how they didn't have much money, and not to expect much for Christmas. And she said it in a way that she meant it, and she was sorry for it. And I sensed a pure heart in her, and things were bad financially for her. And the little son comes up, and he says, Mom, can I have this Nerf football? And she says, no, honey, we don't have the money right now. So as they made their way down another aisle, I went over and bought the little Nerf football. And we kind of run, and I were back, you know, 40, 50 feet, watching them throughout the store, going here and going there. And finally, they made their way out of the store, out of the parking lot. And I go out, and I go, hey, kid, and I toss them the football. And who was the one with the tear in their eyes? The kid? Or Rhonda and me? Random acts of kindness and selfless love. As we channel the mind of God, we will naturally lead others to see their personal connection to God, and consequently, His kingdom will be expanded. This is, in fact, what the indwelling of the Spirit is all about. The power to channel given by the Spirit is only put into active demonstration when one has the faith. It's not the kind of faith you're thinking of right now, but I'll explain that in a minute. When one has the faith and the capacity to realize one's special purpose as a functional member of the universal mind. What is a functional member of the mind of God? My spirit guide. I'm using that term, spirit guide. I never thought I'd use the term spirit guide now. But my spirit guide said it's like this. He says, God is like the artist, and you are like the paintbrushes. Each one has a different function. The broad sweeping strokes, the fine details, the feathering, the blending. We all are a special brush in God's artistry. It made sense to me because I paint seascapes mostly. Personal active faith in God is the key to unlocking the Spirit's power. Faith is a picture of the kingdom that God creates in one according to His, God's, established laws and sovereign will. Faith isn't just an arbitrary belief in something that you can't see or know. It's not blind faith. Faith is substantive. What does Hebrews 11:1 say? It says, faith is the evidence of things unseen. What is it, dear? Faith is the substance of things unseen, the evidence of things hoped for. So faith is substantive, faith is evidentiary. Come here, Dennis. Come up here. Stand right there.
Stand right.
Stand right there. Put your back towards the congregation. Now fall over backwards. Yeah. Go ahead, come on. He's not going to do it. Okay, now, he's going to stand facing this way, and he still can't see me. Look that way. I'll fall over backwards.
Are you ready?
Yeah. He had faith that I would catch him. Why? Because he knew I was there. Faith is substantive. Faith has evidence. Faith is not blind. Active living faith based on the living reality and demonstrable evidence of the existence of the universal mind is the vehicle for channeling God's love. This love will be demonstrated by conscious acts and commitments through the life of the human who is keenly aware of the personal connection to the mind of God. Spirit-filled humans have a powerful, active faith stemming from a deep and pervasive sense of God's passion and purpose, and realize that they have been given spiritual gifts, which are the vehicles which God uses to expand His kingdom. This is not complicated. However, there is another side of the coin, and sadly I must touch on that. An immutable law regarding the power of the Spirit lived out through you, lived out through me, lived out through Millie, lived out through all of us, is that what an individual holds in his conscious thoughts will become reality in his own world. How many believe that? How many believe that now but didn't used to believe that? How many have come to the awareness of that? It's absolutely true. Even the Bible talks about it. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All these principles, all these teachings that Millie so eloquently teaches us and selflessly gives us are scriptural. My spirit guide has shown me that there has been pepper sprinkled. I like the term. Sprinkled throughout the Bible. It contains God's word. It contains God's mind. But there is some pepper in there. And the discerning, spirit-filled person will know the difference. The problem is that when humans are not spirit-led, they cannot be in touch with God's power, passion, or purpose. They in turn do not yet realize that their dormant spiritual nature is desiring a rebirth into the realm of the universal mind of God. Because of this dormant spirituality, they do not have the desire nor the power to channel God, the universal mind, are not sure of their purpose, and cannot identify their spiritual giftedness at all. Since they are only going through the external motions of being a spirit-filled human, they become deceivers. Not intentionally, not intentionally, but they do. All the while, others observe their external legalistic behavior, and the observer believes that this person is, in fact, spirit-led. In fact, these people are not yet a part of the kingdom and will often pursue legalistic behaviors in conflict with it. This sets up an inner conflict in knowing that they are really faking it. This inner conflict completely chokes the spiritual witness because in reality they are not spirit-filled. This forces these humans to exhibit characteristics exactly opposite to that of the gifts of the Spirit. They become highly authoritarian, manipulative, controlling, critical, exclusive, rude, ritualistic, predictable, and self-righteous in trying to accomplish their own unsanctified, selfish objectives. This is why the spirit of the universal mind is only released when an individual aligns his thoughts, actions, habits, and character through active faith and internal alignment with God's passion and purpose. And it is not for us to discern the difference. We are only to show unselfish love to all because the acts look the same. The rituals look the same. The prayers can sound the same. We can't look into the heart. We only look on the outward appearance. God knows the heart. God forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Amazing. A powerful, growing belief system develops for spirit-filled humans as they become internally aligned with Spirit. The results they create in expanding God's kingdom are consistent with God's plans. This leads to a deeper understanding of God's passion and purpose, a clearer vision of the kingdom, more commitment to God, and in turn, a deeper alignment with and infilling of the Spirit. And you're going to say, now, Reverend Paul, how do I get filled with the Spirit? How do I get filled with the Spirit? And some of us that come from a fundamentalist Christian background says you must speak in tongues. That's not it. That is absolutely, absolutely not it. In fact, it's a poor, poor counterfeit. I'm going to share something with you, which you all know very well. If there is a secret, this is it. If there is a formula, this is it. If there is a plan, these few words are it. If there is a way, if there is a path, this is it. If there's an educational system, this is it. This is really good. This is really good. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long. When I say the word love, put your name there. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For now we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. In my estimation, that is the most important thing that Paul ever wrote. Without a doubt. The previous chapter, Paul is speaking on spiritual gifts. In verse 31 of chapter 12, it says, "But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." And then chapter 13 starts. "Well, though I speak with the tongue of men," is that amazing? Is that powerful? I called my brother the other day, and Drew, which most of you know, and I are very close. We shared the same bedroom for many years. We know a lot about each other, of course. Brothers growing up 3 years apart. Come from the same socioeconomic strata, the same religious upbringing, the same understanding. So we can relate to one another quite well. And I talked to him, I called him up the other day, I said, "Andrew, what's happening to me? I'm changing. And I like to change. Maybe some of you will notice it." I love you all. I love Millie. I love this church. And I love what's happening to me, and I know Rhonda loves what's happening to me, and I love what's happening to her, our family, and my father passed on the 11th. And as you start to unfold, and as your sensitivity increases, I had a sense, I knew that Mimi passed, and I knew it was 3 days ago, but I didn't want to say it, because you think maybe I'm wrong. You guys know what I'm talking about, but having that. So, I'll talk to Drew about that. I want to offer a brief prayer as I close. Spirit, with humble and contrite hearts, we offer you thankfulness. Thankfulness for being born on this earth plane. Thankful for the life lessons that we are learning here. Thankful for the spiritual path that you have put our feet on. We're thankful for love, of which you are. We thank you for the birdies. We thank you for the puppies. We thank you for the strong ocean, the powerful waves, the beautiful clouds, the sweet smell of the flowers. We thank you for life, everlasting. And let it be so.
Wonderful, isn't it? You know, so interesting. The words of the Bible, they don't change. But as we grow, the words grow. Same words, they grow. I'm so sorry that there's so many people now who would so much like to be able to